You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ben Johnson and how he teaches these receivers to run routes.
They put 2 seconds back on the clock. Here he is, the rookie, Laporta. And the Lions have their first touchdown of the night.
Second down and 6.
Goff started to his left and he's picked. Intercepted by Marcus Peters. Able to stay in bounds. He's gone. I see no flags. Touchdown Raiders. 74 yards on the return, and the Raiders are back in the ballgame. Dan Skipper comes in at left guard as they hand to Gibbs, and Gibbs breaks it. Touchdown, what a night for the rookie. Wow.
Yes, it was the Jahmyr Gibbs breakout game for the Detroit Lions. The rookie running back went off for a 152, and yes, that touchdown, where an incredibly well-built woman lifted him into the stands without any sweat at all. Maybe we'll get to that a little bit later. That was incredible feat of strength by that woman. The Detroit Lions put a hammering on the Raiders, and the final score, 26-14, doesn't quite reflect what happened in this game, a game in which the Lions offense was on the field virtually the whole game. And when Jimmy G and the Raiders offense was on the field, it was carnage and complete ineffectiveness. So you have two teams going in two different directions. Dan Hanzus, Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler. Greg, this is good for the Lions, obviously, after the humbling at the hands of the Ravens. This was a nice get-well opponent. The Raiders are going to do that a lot for people down the stretch, I think.
I know the Raiders are 3-5, and yet they feel like a 1-7 team. But tonight was about the Lions getting a Monday night game for the first time in 5 years and completely dominating. I was thinking about how Dan Campbell said before last week's game that his models of what he wanted the Lions to be like were the Ravens and the Steelers. And then I was thinking about this game, and I was like, well, this kind of reminded me of the 2023 Ravens. You can see everything. It's right there to be one of the best teams in the NFL. The defensive line just got after Jimmy G at the very end of this game. You're able to develop these rookies. Sam Laporta and Jahmyr Gibbs are great stories for the first half of their season. And Gibbs going, what, over 89 yards from scrimmage, including 5 catches. Like, you're seeing all the good things. But they just kept shooting themselves in the foot. They were terrible in the red zone. You had the Jared Goff pick six. You had the fumble inside the 5. You're settling for short field goals. And so there was just enough of like, come on, let's just put this game away to frustrate you. But looking big picture with all their injuries, ultimately, I take the positive that it's like you're on the field with another NFL team. You're so clearly better than them that you can play with your food a little bit and you can still win comfortably.
They remind me of the, strangely, I was thinking about this, of the 1991 Cowboys, which was the year before they won the Super Bowl. They you know, they went to the playoffs, no apologies. They deserved to go, and they looked like that kind of a team. They had their ups and downs. They were learning how to win. They had a couple like tough losses during that season too, and some controversy. But I look at a game like tonight. They rolled 486 yards, and the Raiders, who are a punchless opponent, had 157. And you have young players showing up all over the roster, left and right, if you're the Lions. And I just look at the two teams and how they've chosen to rebuild over the last couple of years. And there's such a dark and deep contrast. And I cannot think of a fan base that comes at me harder than the Raiders fan base because of what I say on the show sometimes and what I've said even in the offseason. And I stick to it harder than any time ever in my life because...
Take your victory lap, Mark.
Zetland scores.
It's not a victory lap. I don't mind it. You were right. You were, the AFC teams that weren't going to be any better than the Raiders, that would be better than the Raiders.
Yeah, and you know what? It's like, I think, like, I'll say what Wes used to say was like, what would a Raiders fan want? Like, do you want what you have and you want to fight someone saying that they see inequality and problems? Like... They seem like a lost force to me. Like, what is the plan?
Well,
like if you,
oh, go ahead.
I we're 2 years into this and I see no direction. And like, not to just go negative on the Raiders. This is more about a Lions story. This is more about the rebuilding project of the Lions. And they
you went to the Raiders,
NFL.
Mark. So let's stay at the Raiders for a second. So I think it's interesting the way you set that up in that. The Lions did tear it down, and the Lions, you know, and it took a long time, and it's been, Lions fans know it. You heard the way that building was going nuts because, like Greg said, it's been 5 years since a Monday night game, and the energy in there that is such a great, passionate fan base. The Raiders are a team that, while the Lions, with the exception of having Goff there, and he's turned into this pleasant surprise, I don't think the plan was that he was going to be the long-term QB, but it's just almost turning into that situation. Like, the Raiders almost refuse to just truly tear it down at this stage. The fact that they went from Derek Carr and went to Jimmy Garoppolo, that always struck me as just kind of an odd move. And if they're just almost trying to tread water. But I think a lot of it goes back to Josh McDaniels was a bad hire. It's clear this team doesn't have an identity. The offense is in a rut. And it doesn't help that Garoppolo, who is... You know, in a lot of ways, a lot of the things we talk about with Brock Purdy and whether he deserves credit for what he does in Kyle Shanahan's offense, the same people are asking the same questions about Jimmy G. And just look at the difference, and I'll use Davante Adams as an example here. Davante Adams, who on successive drives got overthrown when he was all by himself, and it was basically two catches and 98 yards and two touchdowns worth of missed production there. Garoppolo just airmailing throws out of bounds when one of the best wide receivers of the last 30 years was uncovered and going into the end zone. That game could have been interesting because the Lions refused to close the door, and it just shows like how vulnerable Garoppolo looks outside of San Francisco. And quite frankly, and I know he's not popular here, but Derek Carr, he kept Davante Adams as a high-level player last year when he was in town. They took a big step down at quarterback. The head coach is lost. Max Crosby can't do it alone on defense. It's just a lot. There's a lot to do there in terms of getting things right. And I think it starts with an actual tear down and, yes, a change at head coach.
But the thing is, like, I agree. But their version of a teardown is just hiring a new coach, and then they just tear it down again in another couple of years. It's like John Gruden, I know they won 10 games, and he was doing a much better job coaching overall for the Raiders, although it was his interim head coach that came in and actually won those games in that year. But they were moving the ball, at least. They looked like a functional team, but there was – like no long-term talent. There's never any long-term planning there. And you can see that still. And just the looks on Josh McDaniels' face as early as the first quarter was just like, he is just an energy sucker. You know, we get emails sometimes from our boss to be an energy giver. Like just looking at McDaniels takes energy away from me. Even looking at a TV, I can't imagine like playing for him. And Garoppolo, this is by far the worst version of Garoppolo. It's not just that he's not in Kyle Shanahan's system. He's playing with an injured back. He's holding on to the ball. He's just missing open throws. He looked old tonight. And the first thing he does on the very first play, third and long, is he tries to run for a first down, and he gets drilled in the back diving for a first down. And it's like, this guy is tough, but it's the reason why he always gets hurt. Like, that's how he hurt his ACL was on a play where he basically didn't give up on the play either. And It's a tough situation. They're going to have to think about going to Aiden O'Connell soon, because I think like this is pretty untenable.
He was asked about it, by the way. McDaniels said after the game he didn't think about turning to O'Connell today. It was still a one-score game for a while, according to Vic Taffer.
Yeah, I think it's probably a few weeks away from that.
I mean, but why not at this point? But I also think that if you're in a tough spot, if you're the coach at this point, like you're overseeing a sinking ship. But like seven targets to Davante Adams, he catches one for 11 yards.
But he dropped a killer one for the second straight week too, which is like it's all bad. Even the good players are playing poorly.
Yeah, and like four of their six drives in the first half went for less than 7 yards. All I'm saying is that in theory, if you were the Raiders, you hired Josh McDaniels, and also you fell for Josh McDaniels because we've seen him when he escapes, you know, Gillette. And he becomes a fraud, and like he did it again. And it's like you get him outside of New England, and you've got problems. You've got team meetings. You got left and right stuff going on. I don't know. I don't know who is still buying into this. I don't know.
Nobody is. Nobody is. They'll probably trade Renfro tomorrow. If I had to guess, if anyone's gonna get, I mean, you also have like Hunter Renfro like falling on multiple early third downs. It's kind of like they can't do anything right, and the defense has played a little better, just a little, but a little better than I would have expected this year on balance. They've been pretty close to average in general, and the offense is just one of the very worst.
Should, and not just because it would be good for podcasters across the country and beyond, but they should trade Davante Adams. Like where this team is, where they need to go, they really do need to do a systemic reboot of the whole operation. Mm. And Adams is still a supremely talented wide receiver who could put a team over the top, and the type of guy that I know we always seem to overvalue these veterans in trades, but I think that guy could absolutely fetch a first-round pick. If you're the Raiders, how do you not like think about that if you get a phone call tomorrow given where you are now? Now, back to the Lions. So, yeah, the stats tell the story of complete domination. There's a level of frustration to the game as well because they were a little sloppy. You know, Jared Goff threw a terrible pick six to Marcus Peters. Riley Peterson misses a 26-yard field goal. They turn the ball over in the red zone. They have to settle for four other field goals, a couple of them pretty short. So it wasn't a perfect game, but like you're saying, it is a little bit of a just playing with their food type performance. And I think the more important part is, yes, that Jahmyr Gibbs, who, you know, a draft pick that wasn't overly celebrated back in April because he wasn't Bijan Robinson, who was the flashiest name in the draft class. And because they cleared out their running back room, which was very productive last year. It's like, why are we doing that? Well, what you saw from Gibbs today is like an explosive young player and a guy that's going to keep it getting better. And the Sam Laporta side of things, their tight end, this isn't new. He's been doing this really since week one. He again looked like a young star on the rise. It's just it's all there. And can they put it together when it counts? Because the division is theirs. So they're going to win this division. They're going to have a home game. Can they get into that conversation for
if you're a Lions fan, I'm sure they totally agree with you, but they also probably are just like, okay, let's continue to get there. Like, I know that's probably going to happen, but we, being the Lions, haven't actually won a division in 20 years or won a playoff
but
game
even,
in 20
even
years.
The
so
most
let's enjoy this ride and get there.
Even the most pessimistic sports fan, if you are a Bears fan and you wake up on Tuesday morning, if you're a Lions fan, you wake up Tuesday morning, you're 6-2, and behind you in the standings is the Minnesota Vikings, who just lost their quarterback to an Achilles tear with no one behind him. The Packers, who are as sloppy as any operation in the NFC right now. And the Bears, who are totally lost at sea.
Oh, you're
things
right.
Are set
I'm
up
not arguing.
Very, very well for
you know
this
how
team.
Many teams they play with a winning record the rest of the season?
One.
Two. One.
Yeah,
week
they could 17 win 12,
13 games. At Dallas. Like, other than that, they have an at Saints and an at Chargers. Those are the three hardest games left with 9 games left in the season. So it's set up very well for them to actually compete for the number one overall seed. It's kind of crazy.
Can I give you an odd comparison? Because I think they're the kind of team that could beat Dallas, number one. But during the game...
The 91 Cowboys.
No, not the 91 Cowboys. Greg, I know you've read these books, Little Women. Pride and Prejudice.
I think it's underrated. I think
Pride and Prejudice also, and like these are books where it's like a fleet of sisters, right? And there's like the lead star where like, of course, the lead star is going to go get the guy, Tom Wamsbagen, like as a younger actor in like Pride and Prejudice. But I would say this, the Lions are the sturdy, like second sister that gets a totally solid, great fortune too. And I'm not sure it's all going to happen for them this year.
Wait, so they're Keira Knightley?
No, Keira Knightley is like the star. She gets like the main one, but it's like the girl from Gone Girl that like this gets such a the second after guy dark with the red hair.
They're Rosamund Pike, because when they were younger, though, it almost looked like she was the bigger catch because it's maybe more conventional.
Hey, guys, I don't know what they're talking about either. Don't worry about it.
I know. Well, it's getting...
It's getting
subjective, but I'm saying they're more the second fiddle a little bit to some of these other, you know, the Eagles. But they are... in the picture, they are viable, they are real.
Why are we saying that, though?
They're like, full of fire, why can't too, they, on the inside. They're full of fire, like
when you see the
like
Lions
nightly.
In full flight, and even today where they're not in full flight, but they're damn dangerous and good, like why did we even see them as so far behind the Eagles? Like
I don't see them
so far behind.
Why can't they be the prettiest girl?
Because the Eagles have... fulfilled that journey to show us that they already can get there, and I still think their DNA is that they can get there. And the Lions are the team that, like a week ago, are like the newer great team that are learning how to be that team, and they got wiped out. That's not the DNA of great teams, and that won't happen to them. That will happen to them less and less. And I see them now more and more as a rising force. I totally believe in them. I think they're totally attractive, but like they're not the lead horse.
Okay, I think it's an interesting question, though,
I can't get... It's the second show in a row where we're recording later at night from the home, and you just have a totally different even tone to your voice. It's really messing with me.
What might be my microphone, but like I'm not needing to shove them into the number one spot in the NFC, but they're...
No, I think it's a good question to ask, because why wouldn't they be with the Eagles and the 49ers? And a couple things pop up. Number one would just be their cornerbacks. I think they could if someone was going to make a trade for like an Adoree Jackson, not like a superstar, but just someone that can play some snaps, I think the Lions would be there. They're injured there. They've been very injured in general. The O-line was injured. You saw that tonight. Goff was under a ton of pressure, especially early in this game. They'll get healthier, but their cornerbacks... But the biggest answer, Dan, would be, other than experience, would be, are their best players close to as good as the best players of the best teams? And you got Laporta and Gibbs. These are two rookies that are getting better. You got Montgomery. You got Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's a good player. You got Hutchinson. You got Branch. You got this nice group. Aleem McNeil really made a big fourth down stop early. Good player. Are these guys ready? And Goff is kind of in that group to level up even a little more.
Well, I think that's
to get closer to the superstar club. Not that they'll be superstars, but will they be that level of players? That's why I don't put them quite with those top teams. But I think sometimes you could add it all up and then they can have a magical night and a magical run, and it could happen. But that's why.
That is a great way to put that, I think.
It's funny because I thought you were edging toward, and maybe you were, even if you didn't say it, like Jared Goff. Like, is he going to be a guy that you could count on to level up? I mean, he's been to a Super Bowl before. We always seem...
No, I think he's part of like the rest of that whole thing. But yes, he would be part of it. He's the most...
But like, I look at, you know, even I think Jalen Hurts is somebody that I see when we talk about the big teams in the NFC. He's a quarter ahead above these other guys. But like, do I think that Dak Prescott is so much more superior to Goff? I don't. I think he maybe I would take Dak if I had to pick one, but I don't think it's that crazy. Brock Purdy, obviously he's in a little bit of a slump right now, but I think he's a good quarterback. I think Goff is every bit his equal. And I think you just look around the NFC,
but AJ, Debo Samuel, all, you know,
that I understand, look at Amon St. Brown, like this guy, he's a true number one. That would really help if Jameson Williams turns into a guy for them. But every week, it seems to be one step forward, two steps back.
They had some booze when Jameson Williams dropped one.
Yeah,
early. He did make a nice catch later in the game, and then he was also set up for the most thankless end-around play in the history of football when the second he touched the ball, Max Crosby exploded his body. It was like Randy Johnson's pitch hitting that bird in spring training 20 years ago.
Right. Poor Max Crosby.
It was insane. Max Crosby is insane.
He's not going anywhere, by the way.
He's a top 10 defensive player in the entire NFL. He might be below Myles Garrett and Watt and Parsons, but like if he is, it's barely below.
All right, let's stop right there. We'll take a break, and then we will continue on.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets. Yeah,
it's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back.
Well, you mentioned Max Crosby prior to our... And that break was great. Like, it's great to... I love listening to the ads and taking a real break and just enjoying myself during that time. But, So when I went to... I did a long form that you guys always talk about, these long forms I used to do.
Sizzling After Dark.
It was the Raiders' last home game in Oakland.
Yes.
And along the sideline, you had your John Grudens, you had a lot of Raiders legends, you know, hanging out. But Max Crosby's mom was like an official Raiders photographer down on the sideline with like a massive like scope lens and like all sorts of equipment, and couldn't have been a nicer woman, and like was so proud of her son. And like, it always made me think of Max Crosby differently. But then it was like, he was a rookie then. And I was like, I don't know what he's going to become. Then it's like, he's a superstar now. So that's one thing they've got. They don't got a lot else.
Did Shout you reconnect Max. With Max Crosby's mom for your Mother's Day long form?
No, you know what? You know what's so incredible is that it had nothing to do with the Mother's Day long form, but I just continue to Run connect moms. With moms and mothers all over the place.
I mean, you're getting mileage out of this Mother's Day one. We gotta bring it back. Maybe Father's Day? Do a Father's Day sequel?
I mean, I was largely...
Mark, just keep talking, yeah. Bud. Just go.
What did I do? Like, I'm just telling you the truth. Like,
no, go. I want to go down that mom road a little bit more.
I don't know. I feel like you... I was the kind of person that always... Greg would be this way, too, I think. Whenever, like, you'd be young and, like, you'd have a paramour or young person, like the mom always was like, this seems like a relatively safe individual for my...
Greg Rosenthal, the lead singer of Delaware, that's greatest it. Like acid prog emo band
Delaware
out
going.
There.
Delaware is like Delaware went out of operation like 18 months into its, you know, its run. So,
hey, don't talk bad about Delaware. And yes, I do love a little mom energy in this world. We need more. Shout out to Max Crosby for donating $1 million to his university tonight. They announced there today $1 million. I don't know about. I don't think I would give any. I don't give any money to universities.
Universities seem like the last place that need us to donate. But
right.
That's fine.
It's a borderline. That's a nice most job. Of them are like borderline criminal organizations. But that's another podcast. You know.
You're talking about Tulane. Yeah. Well. Yeah. I'm sure that, you know, every institution is crooked, but maybe down there it's a little worse. I don't know.
I don't mean crooked. I just mean like they're taking all this money, and you know you could go to a school for.
I get
much
a ton
cheaper. That's much better.
A ton, like everyone else, I guess, of junk mail from my alma mater, Northeastern University. I've never opened one of the envelopes. Never once. All right. Anything else from this game or anywhere else? The trade deadline is closing in tomorrow afternoon.
Well, just from this game, this is one of the reasons why you take Gibbs, by the way, is you're going to have different points of the season where you can't give him 30 touches or 25 like they did a week ago and then 30 today every week. But this is why, this is the reason to have two running backs. Sometimes one's gone, and then the other one takes over. And then Gibbs is gone, and the other one takes over. And then they're in better position when they get to the very end. I think the Lions have done a nice job on that, like, throughout the roster. You see they rotate in 7, 8 defensive linemen. It's why they've been able to survive injuries. It's a really well-built team. I'm glad they gave Brad Holmes some pop, their GM, who's done a really nice job on the broadcast. And they're a smart team. I noticed that they're always very well-prepared for situational football. Doesn't mean that everything ends up going right, but I always get on coaches for clocks and, like, being ready in the moment. They're never scrambling to get that play in. They're never wondering what they're going to do at 4th-and-3 or 4th-and-1. And they always have a plan for it. And I really admire Dan Campbell and the staff that they have. They're going to be a fun team that's going to have a lot of Monday Night Footballs. It's fun.
And Dan, this will be far less intellectual than that comment by Greg, but, like, if you're watching the YouTube, I do think we have the copy of, like, that extremely strong woman pulling Jahmyr Gibbs into the stands.
Yeah, forget about Little Women. Let's talk about a jacked woman now.
Yeah, like, this is a powerful moment for all women.
Touchdown! What a night for the rookie! Wow!
Look at that!
Come back! Jahmyr, come back!
I think woman clearly seemed to be paired up with a gentleman, you know, next to her at the moment, but then she just pulled Jahmyr Gibbs right in between them. Couldn't have been more excited about the entire scenario. Watch out.
Watch out for what? She might join the team or I mean, no, Jahmyr,
like,
I think helped
you never
out
know
a little
what's
bit.
Happen. You never know what's going to happen. Just, so, like, just like that, you know,
just clear the runway and let Mark finish all his thoughts tonight. Go ahead, Mark.
No, I'm just saying, like, I thought it was a surprising moment for multiple people. Like, that one little, if you go watch that video, multiple people were surprised by it. And
well, that's a great point, Mark.
Thank you, Tony Grossi. I think, like, I just think that that's, you know, it was one of my favorite moments of a largely forgettable moment and evening for the Raiders. And Raiders fans, don't even, just settle down for a little bit.
Fair. Jimmy Garoppolo said he's pissed he didn't play well. Quote, I have to be smart with the football, get the ball out on time. We have to keep plugging away. There's so much love in that locker room. It sucks to have played like that. Yeah, he's had some stinkers in his career, and he's been around for a while now, but he was so lost in this game. And there was one, even a completion he made where he kind of dropped down sidearm and was turning away, and he completed the pass, but he was clearly just trying to protect himself, it seemed like, almost. I'd never seen him playing with less confidence. And my last Raiders thought is we're all piling on Josh McDaniels, and that's fair because he's really not doing the job there, and he hasn't ever done the job when he's been given this level of responsibility. But Dave Ziegler is also there. He's the general manager. I think this is his second year. I see what you're saying, Greg, that, yeah, you know, why tear it down? You're just going to do it again 3 years from now. Like, but if they don't have the right leadership in place, and this is, you know, just you got to find the right people, and it, and look at it, the Lions are a perfect example. I mean, how many times did that organization go through coaches and GMs and quarterbacks and just tear down until finally there was a setup that stuck? I feel like the Raiders fans, who are, it's a great, passionate, loud, rambunctious fan base, they deserve better than what they're getting right now in this era of Raiders football. And it's been a while now. I mean,
I agree.
This has been a rough 20 years or so now for the Raiders and their fans.
I agree. And in that case, you can also point to ownership and wonder if it'll ever change, you know, if certain things stay the same. But it changed with the Lions. They did head it on eventually. And for what it's worth, the team owner has another team that's won 2 straight championships in the WNBA. The Aces, they're back in the Monday Night Football podcast. You know, Mark Davis is killing it with his other team. So I'm with you. It's kind of like a player, a first-round pick. That's one thing Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick were good at with their bad draft picks. They know when they're bad, and they just get rid of them quickly. So I think you're right. I think McDaniels is out this year.
I feel like when you keep mentioning the Las Vegas Aces and the WNBA, it's like you're trying to bait me into saying something to get myself in trouble, but I'm not going to do it.
I just was pointing out that the ownership is like terrible or cursed or thinking that way, but then I was like, well, he literally has one other team that is dominating that sport, so maybe he just needs to hit on the right guy, and it's not Josh McDaniels, that's for sure.
Football is completely different than basketball.
By the way, I'm going to get out of here when we hit record as fast as Devontae Adams got off that field. I mean, he was sprinting out of there. He is fed up.
Honestly, I didn't pull that number out of thin air. Those back-to-back possessions, I think it was in the fourth quarter, if you add it up, one was from the two-yard line, no safety over top, and he had beaten the corner. He is going for 98 yards and a touchdown. And then on the next drive, it's from their 40. Once again, he runs a beautiful route. This guy's still an elite player. And he just gets overthrown again out of bounds. Now, that one, maybe a safety cuts him off and stops him from scoring. Maybe. But it's very likely that's two catches for 98 yards. And all of a sudden, a game that the Lions refuse to put away is getting away from them. But Garoppolo just didn't show up. And that's very frustrating. And even I'm not going to defend McDaniels. But like when the quarterback's missing layups like that, everyone's going to look worse. But obviously, there's layers to the issues with Las Vegas right now.
I'd say one little quick thing, like to your point before, Dan, Derek Carr, for all we think of him, like plus and minus, like he and Devontae Adams worked a year ago. They worked fine. That's why that was a large reason why Devontae Adams came there along with the money. And the player we just watched on the video on this broadcast here is a player that does not want to be where he is. He does not want to be there. And this organization needs to figure out how to deal with that situation. And I wonder if it could be dealt with as quickly as tomorrow, but I don't think it will be because they don't figure that stuff out. And it's like, I'm not on my previous comments. I'm not trying to kill Raiders fans. I think the Raiders are a great organization historically, but you cannot sit and just rip people that rip the team because this is a mess right now. No. I just see a mess from all angles. I see a mess.
Well, look at the Lions and see hope. These are the only two teams in the NFL that have not won a division or a playoff game in 20 years, the Lions and the Raiders. So in that way, they're the least successful teams, and one of them has got it right. And that's a good tease, Mark, because we're going to be back right when trade deadline happens. We are taping another podcast, and that is in about, trying to do the math, 16 hours, I think. So see you then, guys.
Devontae Adams had 100 catches for 1,516 yards and 14 touchdowns last year. Mm. And now they can't even get him the ball. And I will say, to his credit, and you've seen wide receivers, which are a different breed, shut it down or like become malcontents, and you could tell that the effort level's not there. I think Adams is a really good teammate and a guy that's giving everything he has. He's just being hung out to dry by an organization that's just rudderless right now, which is, he made the decision to go there. He kind of engineered that whole move. I wonder how he's feeling about that right now. Probably, I don't know. Could a trade happen? I guess we'll wait and see. All right. We will be, yes, back, like Greg said, tomorrow. And hopefully we have some blockbusters to talk about. But I guess you got to come back and find out. Don't, everyone that listens to the show, do not get your NFL information from anywhere else. Just listen to our show like cold.
Connie Fox joining us. It's our Wednesday show.
Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.